Let's do a show, shall we? 12:02, very good Sunday morning to you, New York City. It's Mike Fliegelman with you, Fleegs on the Fan, for the next 4 hours until Alvin Cintron. 877-337-6666, number to call. You can tweet at me, at M Fliegelman. It's M-F-L-I-E-G-E-L-M-A-N. Got Brian Rascona, Rami Lavie on the other side of the glass. Dexter Henry with us with the updates at the top of every hour. And a packed sports day, but we're beginning at the Garden because that game on Saturday night, that game perfectly encapsulated this year's New York Knicks team. This represented this team that we have all fallen in love with, that has won this city over. This game on Saturday reflected everything that we have seen and loved from this group in the first 82 games and then the first game in the postseason. Jalen Brunson was not at his best on Saturday night. You're getting A-plus efforts from Joel Embiid, from Tyrese Maxey on the Sixers side. And it's not a great start for the Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo having a bad game. Hartenstein, not his best game. OG Anunoby, slow start offensively. Josh Hart, who we'll get to, had a slow start offensively. The second unit in this game, this bench, the reason we fell in love, or one of the many reasons we fell in love with this team, how deep they are. How it is almost a next man up mentality, not just if somebody gets hurt, but in a game. If Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo, that backcourt's not getting going, then you see what the second unit can do. And this was the game that will be remembered. You can call it the Josh Hart game. You can call it the Deuce McBride game. You could call it the Mitchell Robinson game. Those are the biggest stars of the game. The fourth one might be Bogdanovich. You're talking about three bench players and a starter who sometimes gets overlooked, especially offensively, in Josh Hart, as the guys who carried the Knicks on Saturday night. And that's what makes this team so special. That's why we love this group. Jalen Brunson, there had been talk this week about how he's going to be the best player on the court in this series. It won't be Joel Embiid, who looked a lot better than I expected him to, than I think a lot of us expected him to, after we saw him struggling and clearly nowhere near 100% in the play-in game on Wednesday night. But Embiid was Embiid when he was on the court on Saturday night. And there's an argument to be made that the Knicks won this game because there were a few minutes when Embiid was not on the court when he was supposed to be. Not talking about when he sits for a few minutes, but when it looked like he might be out for the rest of the series when he injured the knee on the self alley-oop. This Knicks team, and that's the key word, team, the rest of the guys, not just Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo. No 30, 40-point nights from either of those two guys. DiVincenzo doesn't even end up in double digits. It's Deuce McBride who takes over. Deuce McBride in this game had an almost unbelievable plus 37. And sometimes a plus-minus doesn't tell the story of a game or a player's individual performance. But if you watched this game and you saw what the Knicks were getting in the minutes when Deuce McBride was not on the court, and then in the minutes when he was, you're almost surprised that it's just plus 37. Because Deuce was huge in this game. On the defensive end and then on the offensive end. Makes 5 threes, has 21 points off the bench in 28 minutes. He was unbelievable. And Bogdanovich only finishes the game with 13 points. Watching that game, it felt like he had even more key buckets than the 4 shots he made. It felt like in the second quarter and the third quarter, when the Knicks needed a bucket, Bogdanovich was there. After not getting off to the best start with the Knicks after the trade, obviously Alec Burks nowhere to be seen, Bogdanovich stepped up on game one in a big, big way. And then one more bench player before we get to the starting lineup. This is a guy I've been hard on at times because his offensive limitations are very frustrating to watch. What Mitchell Robinson gave you on game one is almost the perfect Mitchell Robinson game. The putbacks, the offensive rebounds, he had 7. The Sixers as an entire team had 9. And it's one area where we knew the Knicks had an advantage coming into the series on the offensive glass and rebounding in general. But to see Mitchell Robinson give the Knicks second chance after second chance to go along with 4 blocks and just being able to put the ball in the hoop when he catches it right there, just go right back up, a dunk. He hit two free throws at the end of the game when he was sent to the line, when it was pretty much time to just ice the game. If he misses those free throws, the Sixers could come down the court, down a couple of possessions, thinking they have a chance. Mitchell Robinson, I'm sitting there thinking, all right, Mitch, I'll just take one out of two. He hits both, and the game is over. Mitchell Robinson, the defensive effort. When Isaiah Hartenstein does not get off to the best start against Joel Embiid early in this game, it looks like Embiid is going to dominate, whether that's inside, whether that's at the top of the key. Embiid was all over the court, and it looked like this was going to be trouble for the Knicks. But Mitchell Robinson's minutes, and it's the first time he has played 30 minutes since the surgery, since coming back from the injury. And he was outstanding in those 30 minutes, not just on the defensive end where you pretty much expect it from him, but giving you just that little contribution offensively. And because DiVincenzo gave you almost nothing in this game, hit two threes, one of them early. I remember it was 18-12. He cut it to 18-15 before the Sixers went on another run. And Jalen Brunson, 22 points, but man, was he awful from the field. And we love Jalen Brunson. Listen, I love Jalen Brunson. Not going to disparage him. This was hopefully, and I would even bet probably, the worst game you're going to see from him in this series and hopefully beyond that in the postseason. But Jalen shot just 8 of 26 from the field. He was not at his best. The rest of this squad picked him up. And then the guy who his shots at the end of this game are what really sent it over the top for the Knicks and what will probably be most remembered, as great as Deuce McBride was and Mitchell Robinson was. If we're looking back on this game in a few years because the Knicks win this series and the Knicks go on a run, I think it's most likely that we look back on this game and it is called the Josh Hart game. Josh Hart, so I watched the game on ESPN instead of MSG because as much as I love Clyde, I went with Breen. And I think Doris is an outstanding color commentator. She's great. And the two of them, as great as they are, make up for having to sit through J.J. Redick, who is not the best. Although he wasn't as bad as he could be on Saturday night. He was okay, and it let Doris and, of course, Breen absolutely shine. And there was a point in this game where Josh Hart is left open when he's behind the three-point line. The Sixers are just leaving him alone. They're doubling. They're sending the defense elsewhere, letting Josh Hart shoot. And Doris Burke even pointed it out, how the Sixers clearly seem content to leave Josh Hart open. If he wants to shoot those threes, they're going to let him. And at the very end of this game, there are a couple of huge, huge, critical shots from Josh Hart from three, a catch and shoot, one where he got the ball at the end of the shot clock and he just had to put it up. This one was contested, but Josh Hart, four threes in this game, two or three of them in the fourth quarter are what put the Knicks over the top and helped lock down this game. Josh Hart was outstanding. And it goes along with the double-digit rebounds. He, of course, leads the Knicks in rebounds because that's what Josh Hart does. And he has a big offensive rebound at the end of the game when the Sixers, and if you're watching this game, the Sixers, how they handled the Knicks in the final minute made absolutely no sense at all. It's still a game. The Sixers, it almost looks like they get confused. They just give up. And when there's maybe a chance they could even pull off some kind of miracle after the Knicks miss a shot late, there's Josh Hart flying across the court and grabbing a big offensive rebound to really just ice this game. This will be the Josh Hart game, as the way I believe most Knicks fans will refer to it, but I will remember this one for what the entire team did. That, to me, is the story from this game. That in a season where, of course, Jalen Brunson has led the way, but every guy has had his game or his moments. One of the things you love about this Knicks squad is that they are one of the deepest teams in the NBA, even without Julius Randle. And only eight guys played on Saturday night, but you got key contributions from all of them. With the Sixers, it was for the most part the Embiid, Maxey, Kyle Lowry show. Tobias Harris had this look of, all right, this series is way too physical for me. Get me the heck out of here. He looked like he wanted no part of dealing with anybody on the Knicks. This Knicks team, when Jalen Brunson gets off to a slow start, and really, even though, you know, you'll look at the 22 points and say, that's respectable, that's fine, we can live with that sometimes. This was an ugly offensive day for the Knicks' best player. And the Sixers' best player, the other superstar in this series, was dominating at times. He was at his best. So if I had told you 12 hours ago before this game, you're going to get Embiid looking better than anybody would have imagined after watching him Wednesday in the play-in. He looks like he's 100% healthy. He plays 37 minutes, and he is dominating the Knicks. He is having his way offensively. And I told you Maxey was going to put up 30-plus points. And I told you Kyle Lowry was going to be the pain in everybody's rear end like he was last year when he was playing for the Heat. And he was going to put up 18 points. And Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo were going to have not great and awful nights offensively, respectively. You probably would have thought that the Knicks lost game one at home, and we're reminded of something I know Joe Beningo has been saying for years before I even knew Joe, that the Knicks have never won a series, playoff series, when they lost game one at the Garden. And there would have been that sick feeling worrying going into game two and home court being gone. That's what you would have thought if I told you before the game that you got those individual performances from the Sixers' best players and the Knicks' best players. But the rest of this Knicks team stepped up in a way they have all season. Julius Randle goes down in January. He's out for the season. Precious Achiuwa, who did not play on Saturday, but he steps up. When Robinson got hurt, Isaiah Hartenstein, who was having a good season at the time, all of a sudden turned into a player that we had never even seen from him. Josh Hart at times this season stepping up. And the guy late in the season, when Anunoby was out, and the Knicks are dealing with injury after injury, who got more time in the rotation after the Quickly and Barrett trade, and then ended up with time in the starting lineup, and wowing us in late March into early April. Deuce McBride doing it again, now in the postseason on Saturday night. Everybody is up for answering the call on this team. That's why we love them. This isn't a, okay, three superstars are going to carry the way and everybody else is just going to stand and watch kind of team. This is the team that even when their best player, by far, unquestioned leader, Jalen Brunson, a guy who should be in the MVP conversation, a guy who's up there with the most 30 and 40 point games you've had in a Knicks season, when he's not exactly thriving from the field, his teammates pick him up and carry this team to a game one victory. This could have been ugly. This could have been one that we looked at and said it got away from the Knicks and now they're in trouble. The bench, the sometimes maybe forgotten guys on this team, the guys that when New Yorkers get mad that nationally the Knicks aren't getting nearly the kind of respect that they deserve when they're underdogs in this series as the two seed that won 50 games even without Julius Randle for the last 2.5 months and without Anunoby both before the trade and after he got hurt, without Mitchell Robinson for so long. This team that continues to get disrespected around the NBA community. Jalen Brunson and those surrounding him. When Jalen Brunson couldn't be the guy to say, screw you all, this team is winning, his teammates picked him up. And I loved it. This game, again, just reminded me of why we love this team so much. This wasn't the prettiest and perfect game for the Knicks in game one, but it was the perfect encapsulation of why we love this group. Not just Jalen Brunson, but why we love this entire group. 877-337-6666. I know Knicks fans are absolutely ecstatic tonight, so we're going to go right to the phones, starting things off with Thomas in Staten Island. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, two things I got to say about the Knicks today. I'll start with the good and the bad. The good, the way that we won this season was just the team. The way that we won this game was the theme of our season. Guys go down and people need to step up. And the whole season just basically is preparing us for this type of playoff run.
Thomas, your line's cracking. I'm going to put you on hold for just a second. Rami, check that with Thomas. Let's see if we can get him Because I like where he's going with that, and I do want to hear the bad. And listen, there is plenty of bad. This is not the kind of game where you walk away saying, okay, the Knicks are going to dominate this series, and this will be an easy one, and who are they going to face in the second round? Philly is very much in this series, but it's because you got almost as close to the main punch that the Sixers could throw in a game one on the road. And I said it, and it sounded like you were saying it, Tom. It's tough to tell with the phone. But the way this entire team stepped up, this wasn't an Anunoby, Brunson, DiVincenzo show. Anunoby only 11 points in this game. And if you look at the box score, again, it's amazing. The five Knicks starters plus minus is negative for this game. It's another aspect that if I told you that before the game, the Knicks starters would all be in the negative, whether it's single digits or DiVincenzo at a minus 23. And only three guys on the bench were playing. And you wouldn't just think the Knicks lost. You would think that the Knicks got blown out. So little about this game ending in a Knicks win makes sense. But that's what this team is. That's almost why around the league and nationally, there is that disrespect for the Knicks. Because if you're not watching them night in and night out, you can't understand them. It's hard to fully appreciate what this team is because they're so unlike any other group in the NBA. They're built differently. And I don't mean that in the metaphorical, oh, this guy's built differently way. I mean in the way that the team is constructed with roster building. They're built differently than some of the other top teams in the NBA. They don't have the multiple superstars. And there's been so much conversation the last few years about how the Knicks were putting this team together. And could you build a championship team without stacking up those superstars? And I still believe the answer is no. Full disclosure. I don't think this group is winning a championship. But a series against a Sixers team representing Philly, a city that we all despise, and we hate their sports teams, we hate their fans, in a lovingly, you know, sports hate kind of way, not real hate, but can't despise, or we do despise Philly, and we don't want to see them win anything. And Mr. Face of Trust the Process, we would love to send them packing in round one with Jalen Brunson and this group of scrappy underdogs. This was the perfect display of that from the Knicks. And we have Thomas back, so I want to get him back on here. Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so what you were saying that how everybody stepped up for the Knicks, and what was the other point I know you wanted to get to?
Yeah, so everybody stepped up, and that was basically the theme of our season because so many guys went down and they had to step up. So really, it gets us ready for the playoffs. And what's so good about Brunson is that even when he's not to where he usually is, he poses so much of a threat that it opens up threes from guys like Anunoby and Josh Hart. And we're able to knock down threes because let me tell you something. Even though Josh Hart got those threes off, the offense still looked a little shaky during that point because I think they were running like a 1-2-2 or 2-2-1 press of zone in the last minute. And he, you know, Brunson's gravitational. So all the defense goes to him and he kicks the ball out to open guys and guys are able to knock down shots. Now, as far as something bad that I saw today, I'm still worried about Embiid. I don't know how he came back from that injury today, but he gravitates so many people towards him too. And you got guys like Maxey that really, you know, put the pedal to the metal. So
yeah,
I'm excited about game two, and I can't wait.
I can't wait either, Thomas. Great call. So first on the offensive end, you know, you're right. The Sixers were doubling Jalen Brunson and employing his own late in the game. And I mentioned that one Josh Hart three where at the end of the shot clock, he just kind of had to put it up. That was a broken offensive set. Doris Burke even mentioned it on the broadcast. You could almost say, oh, the Knicks got a little lucky there. But, hey, you'll take the lucky breaks. Josh Hart hit the shot that he had to hit. It was one of four threes he made in the game, so it wasn't like the guy was just ice cold and threw up a prayer and got lucky. I mean, the Sixers surely seemed to have enough. Paul Reed was just kind of throwing up a couple layups that were just hoping for the best, and he hit a couple of them in this game. But you're right. Defensively, the Sixers had a plan for the Knicks that, for the most part, I would say worked. They doubled Jalen. He wasn't able to do a ton, and again, this is where the starting lineup versus the bench comes in. There had been games during this regular season where if Jalen Brunson wasn't shooting the lights out, then Dante DiVincenzo would be the guy that steps up. That obviously was not the case on Saturday. It took for Thibs going to the bench, and when Deuce McBride and Bogdanović came into the game for the Knicks to get going offensively. And they did something in this game that has really been an issue for them all season. They won, at least in the first half, they won the non-Jalen Brunson minutes. Now, big asterisk there is that Embiid was also off the court in a lot of these minutes because Embiid was, again, dominating in this game. If Embiid doesn't get hurt, that's the biggest elephant in the room. We're going to talk about the negatives because there are, like Thomas said, there are some worrisome signs. But the biggest reason I'm not concerned, which we'll get to on the other side, is that with all of those negatives, with so much that I had laid out in these first few minutes with what Embiid did, what Maxey did, what Lowry did, what Jalen and DiVincenzo, and you could even throw Ananobi and Hartenstein in there, what those guys didn't do. Even with all that, the Knicks still won. And that showed me so much. 877-337-6666. Take a timeout, come back, continue with the Knicks. There's so much to get to in this show. The Islanders game one against the Hurricanes was on at the same time because the NHL and the NBA are just determined to really tick off any Knicks Islanders fans like myself over the next couple weeks. Islanders game one and a lot of baseball as well. The Mets with a big win out in California. The Yankees, tough loss at home, but you have the John Sterling ceremony. We'll get to all of that. And then the other Garden team, the Rangers, they get underway later this afternoon. Will the atmosphere be as electric? That's a yes. That one, I don't even need the crystal ball. We know it will be. Will you get the same results on the ice / court? That we'll find out. And we'll talk about the Rangers in this upcoming run and what it all means, what they have to do. So much to get into. Maybe a little draft as we go along. I'm here until 4. It's Fleegs on the Fan. We'll be right back.